Welcome to today's episode. Let's start with a provocative thought. Economic systems aren't just technical blueprints. They're infused with political choices, social values, and ideological currents. So the real question is, should we accept that our economic models embody more than concerns about efficiency?
When we analyze an economy's structure, we're really uncovering power dynamics, cultural priorities, and moral assumptions. At its core, it's about who controls resources, how surplus is shared, and which relationships take precedence between capital and labor.
What might appear to be a neutral spreadsheet is, in truth, a battleground of values. Before we dive into the comparison, why do these underlying commitments matter so much in practice?
These commitments shape more than who gets what they define, how society understands fairness, opportunity, and responsibility. It's like setting the rules of a game. The structure determines the outcomes, often in ways we don't immediately see.
Let's turn to ethicism, a framework developed by Joe Secchimono in his book published 5 years ago. Its boldest proposition is striking. It distinguishes itself by abolishing fixed salaries and replacing them with a system of participatory profit sharing. Could you explain the mechanics of how this works and the rationale behind such a shift?
Certainly. Ethicism views both labor and money as dynamic, negotiable contributors to value creation. Instead of fixed wages, the entire profit is distributed among all participants, with shares recalibrated whenever new workers or new capital enter. In this way, earnings are always tied to the real performance of the enterprise, rather than detached from it.
Unlike traditional systems, income and ethicism is directly tied to the success or failure of the enterprise. How does this reshape both motivation and the way risk is shared?
It's profound. It establishes balanced exposure earnings rise or fall with results. Where traditional wage earners are shielded from risk, ethicism turns every participant into a co-stakeholder, fostering both active engagement and responsible governance.
Now, contrasting ethicism with cooperatives, which emphasize democratic control, how does the co-op model navigate the tension between internal democracy and external market forces?
Co-ops operate on a one-member, one-vote principle, blurring the lines between labor and capital. Wages are still paid and surplus is shared. However, the need to compete in capitalist markets often compels co-ops to adopt hierarchical practices, diluting their democratic ideals.
That's a subtle but crucial point. Is there evidence of co-ops reverting to traditional hierarchies under competitive pressure?
Absolutely. Studies from Mondragon and other large cooperative networks reveal that market competition can erode egalitarian structures, pushing them closer to standard corporate models over time.
Turning to capitalism, its hallmark is the wage-profit divide owners earn profits. Workers receive fixed wages. What strengths and weaknesses does this arrangement present?
Capitalism excels at incentivizing innovation and risk-taking by rewarding capital investment. But structurally, it positions workers as costs to be minimized. The result is persistent inequality. For example, the top 1% in the US hold over 30% of national wealth.
That's a dramatic disparity. Could shifting the wage-profit balance address this, or is inequality baked into the capitalist model?
There's some flexibility profit-sharing schemes exist, but as long as capital ownership is concentrated, systemic inequality remains a core feature of capitalism.
Socialism aims to solve inequality by shifting ownership to the state or collectives. How effective is this approach in advancing equity, and what are the trade-offs?
Socialism can dramatically reduce wealth gaps. Consider Scandinavian countries, where state intervention has slashed poverty rates. However, central planning often leads to bureaucratic inefficiency and limited individual recognition, slowing responsiveness.
Is there a way to balance equity and flexibility within socialism, or are these trade-offs inevitable?
Hybrid models, like market socialism, try to introduce flexibility, but the tension between centralized planning and entrepreneurial dynamism is difficult to fully resolve.
Participatory economics, or PAERCON, replaces markets with councils and rewards based on effort and sacrifice. How does this model operationalize fairness? And what coordination challenges arise?
Remuneration is peer-evaluated, so those taking on more arduous or undesirable work are compensated accordingly. While this enhances fairness, it requires exhaustive deliberation. For instance, a study of pilot PAERCON systems found that coordination costs were 30% higher than in market-based firms.
Does this collective involvement lead to decision fatigue, or are there mechanisms to streamline the process?
Some propose rotation and delegation to councils, but complexity scales rapidly. The challenge is preserving democracy without bogging down operations.
Employee stock ownership plans, or ESOPs, give workers partial ownership while preserving existing management hierarchies. How do ESOPs impact wealth distribution and worker influence?
ESOPs can significantly boost worker wealth. Retirement studies show ESOP participants have twice the retirement assets of non-participants. However, real decision-making power typically remains with executives and legacy shareholders, limiting democratic participation.
Are there examples where ESOPs have shifted governance structures more radically?
A few cases exist, but they're exceptions. In most firms, ESOPs are financial instruments rather than levers for deeper structural change.
Taking a step back, what comparative insights emerge about remuneration, ownership, and risk across these systems?
Only ethicism and PAERCON fully break from the salary model ethicism. Ties income to evolving contributions, PAERCON to effort. Capitalism, socialism, co-ops, and ESOPs maintain the wage-profit divide. Ownership also varies. Ethicism abandons fixed stakes, while others preserve private or collective property.
And in terms of risk, how do these models differ in their distribution of burdens and rewards?
Capitalism places risk and reward. Asymmetrically, owners gain most, workers bear precarity. Socialism socializes risk, but at the expense of flexibility. Ethicism distributes both symmetrically, recalibrating in real time, which may enhance resilience, but increases individual exposure.
Let's shift to the public sector. How do these economic models shape compensation and incentives for civil servants?
In capitalism and socialism, public servants receive fixed salaries set by market or state contracts. PAERCON bases pay on job complexity and effort, evaluated by councils. Ethicism, however, makes a radical break. Public servants share in their department's budget, linking income to collective mission performance.
Could ethicism's approach make public service more dynamic, or might it introduce volatility and uncertainty?
It's a double-edged sword. Tying income to mission fulfillment could drive innovation and accountability, but also create pressure for short-term results or risk aversion, depending on how success is measured.
Nowhere is ethicism's divergence clearer than in central banking. How does abolishing the wage-profit split transform the role of central banks?
In capitalism and socialism, central banks manage tensions between wage growth and profit margins, adjusting rates to control inflation. Ethicism eliminates this tension. With no wage-profit divide, the central bank's regulatory function becomes obsolete, reducing it to a transparency registry.
That's a seismic shift. Could this removal of monetary policy levers create vulnerabilities, or does it herald a more stable economic architecture?
It's uncharted territory. On one hand, it could reduce speculative cycles and wage price spirals. On the other, it might limit crisis response tools, placing more weight on participatory governance to maintain stability.
As we wrap up, what larger lessons can we draw from this comparative examination of economic models.
Each model encodes a distinct vision of justice, freedom, and responsibility. Ethicism's radicalism lies in discarding both wages and fixed ownership, forcing us to reconsider what it means to earn and to share risk. The key is not to rank systems, but to interrogate their trade-offs.
That's a powerful invitation. Ultimately, the economy isn't a neutral arena. It's a contested space where society negotiates fairness and opportunity. Any closing thoughts on how listeners might apply these insights?
Stay curious and critical. Examine who holds power, who benefits, and at what cost. These questions are essential to shaping systems that genuinely reflect our collective values and aspirations.
Thank you for joining us. If you enjoy this deep dive, tune in next time as we explore how technology might either entrench inequality or unlock new forms of collective empowerment.